give out, well, let me do the sermon first, but the idea is to take it home. I would say, here, meet me Sunday, I'll give you a candy bar if you fill it out, but I think you all could do it pretty well. I'll have something. And if you give it to me, I will give you something, but my desire is not to do that. It's more so is to get it so that you keep it, and you will see some of the things that, if you think it, what it'll happen is, if you think of something, it'll pop up the whole chapter to you. And it's just something simple. Okay, I'll start out with a little levity, I hope, because some of you remember or might have heard that we had a break-in at our house. And it was after a little prayer meeting, and this made me think of you, Pamela. One night a lady came home from her weekly prayer meeting and found that she was being robbed. And she shouted out, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized and your sins will be forgiven. She said it again, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized and your sins will be forgiven. The robber quickly gave up, and the lady rang the police. And while handcuffing the man, the officer said to him, gee, mate, you kind of gave up on that one pretty quick. What happened? He says, I don't know. She started screaming. I thought she had an axe and 2:38 that she was going at. All right. That didn't happen to Pamela. All right. I want to bring your attention to the famous nickname given to our church from Pastor and the Fritz children from Cape Verde, and you know the one I mean. Our church is the candy church. So please forgive me if I use some candy again tonight later in this message a few moments from now, because I'm going to use it to show you something. Yes, whether the candy is used to compel them to come in for junior church or King's Kids, or RU, the bus ministry, or to sit quietly and patiently during preaching, as Jesus urged us to come, tell them to come in, we see it used for sowing purposes, don't we? In some cases, and obviously, it's the sugar is not the best thing to always do, but it helped me get here. I remember the first time I went to a Baptist church, and I didn't know nothing being a Catholic, and we stopped for ice cream. I was sold. It was amazing. Yes, we earned that characteristic too, I would like to say, but this evening I want to expand on the idea of making us the sweetest church around besides, and not because of any chocolate, caramel, or sugary concoction, just to be a sweet church. We have some sweet folks in this place. In fact, some of the sweetest people I have ever met are serving God in that First Baptist Church at Amboy. And a few that we grew up with here in the last 24 to 25 years, just outstandingly sweet people. And they were filled with the sweet fruit of the Holy Spirit. And they're the real candy of Christianity to me. And just like Reese's peanut butter cups, you come around them and you want to have more. You want to know more. And I did. And I don't know about you, but I want that kind of Christianity. And I confess, and I know that I lack it. And I could use much, much more of it. And truly desire that sweet spirit, especially since I know how much God wants us to be like that and how it pleases Him. Because He mentions someone who was in the Scriptures. And I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1. 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 1. Everyone there, follow with me. Now these be the last words of David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. and said, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." These be the last words of David. Now, the next verse says that it wasn't really him speaking, though, but was it? But there it is. So far, so we see the following verses in the chapter are the words of the sweet psalm writer of Israel. Think about what we just read for a minute. Can this really be the truth? The man who slew a giant in 10,000s in warfare, whom God would not let him build the temple because of all the warfare he was involved in, had blood on his hands. The adulterous man who could find no rest till it was revealed to all the kingdom by God through the holy man of God, of his Nathan. The father that had neglected some of his own precious seed to the point of death and tragedy and guilty failure. Yes, God said, he's the sweet man that God speaks of. Look at verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Here's the proof. God said it. David was a sweet man who was a man after God's own heart. David's words were sweet because God spoke through him. It was such a tremendous blessing and a help to me a little while ago as Pastor Fritz took us through the Bible study in Psalms a little while, I think it was about a year or two ago. I didn't study on them as much as I should have when he was doing that, as I am this year, but I encourage you to get into them deep and daily in the days ahead as you read them. You can truly see this heart of God in David. David, the Psalms are just amazing. We learn from the Psalms, as you read all of them, that the son of Jesse, these be the, David, the son of Jesse, preached, and he sang praises from God of God from the early shepherd days in the darkness of long and lonely desert journeys as he worked with the sheep. The anointed of the God sang and copied down prose in caves and as he fled from Saul for fear of his life. He was reigning king and with enemies within and enemies without. He confessed his heart and his sin, and he loved God, and he gave glory and adoration to him. Sincere, sweet feelings, sweet words which were written down for us, thank God. As the years passed and his hoary head was upon him and he began to get sick and old, he testified of his trust in his great Jehovah and of his loving faithfulness for him, and as leaving a testimony behind in this great collection of God's word. Now think about this. Can you imagine sitting down with David, old, about the twilight of his life, gleaning from him at this time, in his rocking chair. No, his recliner, right, Mr. Hicks? I pictured a sweet old man patiently listening, gently rebuking me graciously, kindly. And he was he could have been mean. He was a man of war. And he's teaching me, and I'm sitting there listening, and I'm just thinking, what a sweet man. How do you get to be that way? Aren't you, you know, don't you get irritated? Don't you have to, you know, some people who just maybe cranky when they're elderly and in pain. He's giving precious counsel to me in a firm, sweet way, speaking by the Holy Spirit. I see Jesus in him and I realize how far I need to go. Do you recall how God loves that sweet-smelling service? Look back in our church history that I've been here and think of some of the sweet people. Remember Dick Wittenauer? Esther Myers? Freeman Googe? Benny Beckham? Melvin Swanson? Just to name a few. I can't think of them all. There's just sweet people. You just in their voice, it took concentration to hear and think in what they said. But what they said was powerful and godly. Let's go to Genesis chapter 8 and 20. See some things that make a person sweet. What made David sweet? Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 or 21. Right off the bat, we see that God likes a sweet-smelling Christian. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 through 21. What happens? Noah built an altar unto the Lord. And he took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, and neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. And I thought about that. That's a very damning little thing, isn't it? When it says, every imagination of my youth was an evil thing. You know, if I think about that. And that was true. That's where I did a lot of my wicked life. And now I'm so glad to see there's an opportunity for youngsters around not to do that. We don't have to do that. We have some very sweet people around, and you don't have to see the ugly darkness and ravages of sin. But anyway, we see that the Lord loves a cookout, it seems, right? Who doesn't? He was moved by his servant Noah's worship and sacrifice. The same is said many other times throughout the Old Testament when the offering and the labor were done according to his directions. The Lord was pleased with that offering, and he drew near to it. He drew near to that altar. And we need to prepare the altar of our hearts properly to give off an aroma pleasing to God and ultimately to others. We need to get it settled here. We can do it like Noah and as Manoah and his wife did in Judges 13. They immediately gave that altar to the angel of the Lord, who really wasn't there for any kind of fellowshipping, but he liked it, didn't he? He stuck around. Or you can give off a disgusting smell like the incense offered by Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, which was related to us in Leviticus 10. And God quickly disposed of that. Didn't want that around. And if you are saved, I want you to listen to this verse in 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. That's a sweet, you get what he's, that's a sweet smelling aroma of Christ. Well, it's all about him smelling good. What else can we do to be like David? Look at Job chapter 38 through 31. And this one was kind of hard to work with a little bit, but then I got to think. Job chapter 38, look what he says, or what God says to Job. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Look what God told Job that was sweet to him, his handiwork in the sky. He said, many of you tonight here do this already and find this to be a boost to your soul. I don't always do it like I'd like to, but to the others I say, don't get so busy you cannot see the beauty of the artwork of our Creator and the amazement of the holiest at work all around us. Have you ever looked through a telescope at the great big sky? And the expanse out there tonight? Did you ever check out a drop of pond water under a microscope? Just amazing. God is so near to us and often creating things right in front of our eyes. A few of us here have slipped out of the house to see the night miracles that occur, like the blood moons and the meteor showers, Miss Amy. You've done that, haven't you? It's awesome. It's really awesome. If you need to take a day off, And it's sweet looking up at that star-filled night. I mean, you know, I don't do it as much, and pastor's good at it. But if you go, the aurora borealis, I've yet to see that. You know what I mean? But I would just know that's the kind of guy I am. I'd love to see it. But if you need to take a day off and a night out, do it. It's a great place to be alone and meditate on God, the Creator. And our pastor sets a very good example of this. And in fact, the Lord Jesus often withdrew himself alone into the wilderness to pray. Matthew 14:23, Luke 5, 6, mostly just to pray. Set a time regularly to do some quiet bird watching, as Miss Isabel has taught us to do. Watch the God work in your little handiwork around the backyard. It's pretty neat. I can't believe how cool that is. And he sets that in. How about the sunrises or the sunsets? Forget your sunglasses, because it's written in Ecclesiastes 11:7. Truly, the light is sweet. And it's a pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. I never saw that verse till we were doing it. It's a sweet thing to look at the sun. Well, you would think, don't do it. But he says, it's a sweet and pleasant thing for the eyes to behold the sun. Huh. Now, pleasant words. Okay, the next thing that makes you sweet. Well, it'll help you develop a peace. Let me say, when you get out there alone in the wilderness, alone with God, it'll help you to develop a peace that's sweet to be near. When you get out into this God-made creation, this is just one part of the mixture involved in making individuals sweet. What else would help? Let's go to Psalms this time. Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19, look at verse 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Okay, now we're going to look at those sheets. And I would like somebody to tell me the answers. I want to know the answers for church, prayer, and the Word of God. And the first one to raise their hand, I'll give them a candy bar. Church, Word of God, or prayer. Word of God is simple. And while they're doing that, I'll read you some amazing facts about the Bible. The entire KJV can be read and aloud in about 70 hours by an average reader. What they tell you they can, that's not true. The Ezra 7:21 contains all the letters of the alphabet. Ezra 7:21, all the letters of the English alphabet except the letter J. It's the only letter not in it. Grandmother appears only once in the Bible. Anybody know? In Timothy. 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. David is mentioned 1,118 times in the Bible, more than anybody else. The last word in the KJV is Amen. Amen. An average of 50 Bibles are sold every minute in the world today. Believe that? The Bible is the best-selling book today, but it's also the most shoplifted Bible. Now, who would have thought that? Shoplifted book. Believe that? The Bible is the first book to be put on a printing press. The Bible has been translated more than any other book. And finally, does anybody know the central verse of the King James Bible? Remember what it was? 118 verse 8. There are 594 chapters before it, 594 chapters after it. And I think the middle of the verse, the middle of the words are the Lord. I thank the Lord. Isn't that cool? Now, do I get to take these home? Come on, does anybody got a chance? How about I give you one? The Word of God, Psalm 119. That chapter. Go ahead. Yeah. Well, the whole chapter is about the Word of God. I'll take the whole chapter. There you go, Janelle. You're welcome. How about prayer? Anybody got a guess on prayer? How about if I... What if I would have said the new birth? Would anybody have got that? What chapter is the new birth in? John chapter 3. Prayer is in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. That's when he gives the Lord's Prayer. Okay? Now, the whole idea is somebody says, where's the Lord's Prayer? Can you recite the Lord's Prayer? You think of Luke 11 right away, and you start to remember how to get around the Bible. Now, the church, I used a couple of things. I used the first time that the word is used. Does anybody remember where that is? It's Matthew 18. It's the first time the word church is used in the Bible. And that's my other one, Amy. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't. Hebrews 10:25 and Matthew 18 is the first time that the word church is used. Jesus uses it. But anyway, David said the word of God was sweet. David stayed sweet because of the word of God. Remember when we started? These be the words that the Holy Spirit spoke through him. David stayed sweet because of the word of God. David drew his sweetness while regularly in the word of God. The pleasant words that are sweeter than honeycomb. The more time you spend meditating and musing on the scripture, as Pastor often says, you can't help but be spirit controlled and Christ-like. And that's so true. The scriptures truly bring joy. The prophet Jeremiah also told of the words of God that they were once found and eaten, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's in Jeremiah chapter 15. Now that doesn't mean it doesn't convict you, and it doesn't hurt sometimes. Because many times you won't get any peace or sweetness till you settle things with God in that word. Remember the admonition in Revelation chapter 10:10, and I took the little book out of the angel's hands and I ate it up, speaking of the scriptures. And it was in my mouth, sweet as honey. But as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was filled bitter. And that's what it's supposed to do. Make us think about what we're doing. Help us to get it right with the Lord. Excuse me. Sweetness comes from the Word of God after applying the solution. We must heed the Holy Spirit as it explains those words of honey. Otherwise, we're going to get heartburn, don't we? Remember, these words are given to us to point towards our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. So when we're struggling, or when we're having that hitch in our giddy up in our service of the Lord, we got to get back to the Word of God. That's where it all gets settled. And we just got to let it drip in as it hurts. It tastes good going in, kind of like a taste. But it will come out what the desired effect. We need another ingredient to become sweet like David. Open your Bibles to Ephesians 5:2 now. Ephesians 5:2. This is another ingredient to making me a sweeter person. And walk in love, as Christ also had loved us and had given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. There's that sweet aroma of Christ. If you're walking close and I'm walking close and I'm in the Word and I'm doing and around those people that are sweet and experienced in the Lord, you're going to smell pretty good to God. Christ is a sweet-smelling fragrance to God, His Father. And as I mentioned, you met these type of people. Gracious is the Lord, sacrificial, serving spirit, just as Jesus left for an example. They are sweet people to know, and we would do well to learn from them. And He says in verse 1 of Ephesians, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children." As a child of God, when we walk as His Son, we put out an odor of a sweet smell to the Lord. What Christ is to His Father, believers also are or should be. According to that verse, when we are, God is well pleased with the offering of ourselves on the grounds of its sweetness. And so He's reconciled to us. This same odor was like the ointment compound, which was made from principal spices, poured on Aaron's head, which enabled him to offer himself as a sacrifice for a sweet-smelling minister for the Lord. But listen, we can also be stinkers too. Of course, the opposite will occur when we begin to self-focus on ourselves and not love others until it grows, and it grows into self-pity. And that kind of smells like sour apples to people, particularly those who know. And it's definitely not sweet. It's unattractive, and it's what happens to a rotten apple. Go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 now. What will make us sweeter than candy? This is a good one. Hebrews 13, 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. The sacrifice of praise, praise continually. We're talking about sincere praise, not just mouthing some words. When we praise a created thing, we can easily exaggerate and stretch the truth. But giving thanks to God by confessing what He really is to me and what He is to us personally keeps us truthful and genuine in our praise. A gratitude attitude will make you sugary. Are things bad in your life? Praise God continually and it will make you sweet. You know, I was looking at some of these things and one statement came up. I need to double check it, but it was saying that Christians have only one calling, really. And you know what that calling is? Jesus said it many times, or a couple of times to His miracles. He said, only believe. Only believe. But you know, you could do that, and you can believe, and you can get you believe the Lord, and we all, you know, if you're born again Christian, and you do, you're living your life for it. You can attest to the fact that how the devil spends your whole life, and our whole lives, trying to shake us off that foundation. Just go to the first calling, the simple one: only believe. And then if you've got that faith. How many times Jesus would say, "Wow, what great faith!" He would say but He'd always say it to somebody who wasn't a Jew, right? He'd say it to the Roman centurion. He'd say it to the Syrophoenician woman, what great faith. And that's only believe, that great faith. That's without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that sweet smelling savor. But our whole lives were getting pushed by the circumstance and the daily lies, all of these things, just to make us, rattle us, shake us. And it is really a great testimony to see saints make it to the end, still strong and even stronger in their faith, isn't it? Makes you feel good, doesn't it? Makes you see that sweetness. Now, I don't know. Recall the words in the book of James. If you're going to praise, continue. Look at the words in James chapter 3, verse 11. He says, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" Can a fountain do both? No. Or you shall know them by their fruit, right? No, of course not. Turn off that angry gossip and jealous bitterness. Become a magnet of sweet praise and uplifting talk. But remember, lest we forget, there's another aroma to God that He enjoys so much, that sweet smelling, and we can do that we can do all the time to be attractive to others. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Almost got my point across. Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 9. Just follow along with me. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lord, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation." What makes us sweet to God? Our prayer lives. No prayer is ever wasted, is it? No prayer, not every prayer is uttered either, is it? Those oftentimes feeble and weak prayers of God's people are poured out by the 24 elders here. Not, you know, just this prayer. Maybe Don Martino, he pulls out a little iodine bottle. These are the prayers, that sweet-smelling prayers. They are poured out as a sweet fragrance before our God in holy worship in this heavenly temple example. Why? Because He's worthy of expensive perfume and cologne. Like smells. Let me say that again. He's worthy of these perfume-like smells and expensive cologne. Greater than the spikenard that was poured on the dead person leaving the world, right? And that was expensive. Is it not said that our bodies are now the temple of the living God? Then we ought to have that type of fragrance wafting through our temple always. How is our prayer life? How big is our bottle going to be? God, help me to pray. Are you praying without ceasing in all things? Will you meet me at the prayer meetings on Wednesday nights, church, and on Thursday night, man, will you be there? Help me. Help keep us accountable and sweet-smelling to Him. And we'll do it for each other. As I strive to please Him privately in my own prayer life too. As I read David's prayers and other great saints' prayers in the Bibles like Hannah, Ezra, Paul, I'm afraid my prayer bottle, like I said, is the size of an iodine bottle. If there was one smaller, I would have said it. I couldn't think of one. And I want to give God a bigger and better supply. Maybe like a case of bottles the Culligan water guy brings around. Bring some of them prayers up to Him, huh? Wouldn't you? And finally, there's one more thing to make us an all-rounded sweet piece of sweetness. Christian fellowship. Look at Psalms 55. Psalms 55. Look at verses 14 through 16. Look what David said. He said, "We took sweet counsel together, and we walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell. for their wickedness in their dwellings is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon the Lord, and he shall save me. David said he drew sweetness from conversation with like-minded company. And we also need to seek people where we can get and share sweet counsel from the Lord. Pray tell, where is a good place for that? Right here. Amen. Of course, right here in this place, with our pastor and the open Bible throughout the whole service, other Bibles open throughout the whole place. We see we've got godly counsel, we've got great fellowship in like-minded things. Remember the words of Proverbs 27, verse 9? Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And that's the result of Christian, sweet Christian fellowship from the Bible. No better place on this side of heaven to get the sweetest advice, but here among those experienced Bible believers beside you. I love our men's prayer meetings, and especially the reaction from Brother John when he calls me to get me to go. He loves the fellowship, and he will tell you himself how much he needs to be here each week. And he must have said it a couple times. It is so contagious to be around that kind of praying and desire to pray. And I know that there are others like that, but John picks me up. So there you have it. The ingredients for a church sweeter than candy. Really, it's kind of hard. They're simple to do, say, a little harder to do. But we all want to be sweet. We all want to fill the pews, don't we, with lost people who just come. How hard it is for us to witness to some people, right? But you know the best witness a person can be is just making a friend all of a sudden and being there saying, what is it about you? And they just hang around and they see Christ in you, right? I learned that after being a zealous door winner or soul winner in my first few years of life, huh? And I remember Mr. Whitnauer saying, Don, you're so pushy. What? But he was right, I was. But over the years, I seen the value of sweet fellowship, sweetness, the caring about people. And I love the ministries that Pastor has. They're all, and Carol and Pastor have here. They just put these ministries that are all about putting love, putting their boots on and getting involved in loving people. It's compassion with love with boots on. Getting busy, getting in there and lifting the burden. In closing, what three things must we do to succeed in the Christian life? I basically said staying in church where there's sweet counsel and fellowship there. Read your Bible always and forever. And do it out in creation if you can. You like it, enjoy it. Pray always. Don't forget to worship our God when you do. And isn't that just like the Lord to show us that this is the identical formula with one or two other ingredients for being a sweet Christian? The same one Pastor Fritz has been teaching us for years. Stay in church. Read your Bible. Pray always. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer.